The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. So, Ryan, what's the biggest news coming out of NFL free agency?
I don't know. What's the big, who's the big signing? Mike Wallace, I guess?
Mike Wallace, signing. Well, it seemed like Percy Harvin to the Seahawks. You got Bolden being traded to the 49ers. It is funny how quickly the tide has turned, and all of a sudden the NFC West is in this arms race.
Yeah.
And, so quickly. I mean, just we're not that far removed from a 7-9 team winning the division. And now you could say the two almost favorites to win the NFC are in the same division.
Yeah. I mean, you still got the Falcons, the Packers. I don't know. Pretty much it, I guess. I mean, if you said,
hey, I think the Seahawks are going to play the 49ers in the conference championship next year, that wouldn't be a crazy statement.
I mean, I think by the odds, they are the two favorites.
Yeah. And the Seahawks with Percy Harvin, that's scary. I don't know what Percy
running
Harvin,
that option.
Mm. Percy Harvin is a problem, obviously, or there's some sort of he's got an attitude problem. But I think if you go to maybe a player-friendly coach who also has a strong quarterback, I feel like that's probably a good fit.
Well, real quick, why does he have an attitude problem?
Oh, yeah, that's part of the reason why the Vikings got rid of him was because he was difficult.
Oh, I read that it was because he was going to hold out because he wants to get paid because he clearly has injury, like some issue with his head.
Oh, the migraines?
Yeah, I think he just wants to get cash in, you know?
Well, I heard it. Maybe that was what ultimately led them to cut him. But you hear all these stories about how he's just difficult, how he's kind of a weird personality handle, and maybe it's related to the migraines. I don't know. Kind of crazy mood swings. You don't know what you're going to get with him.
Maybe.
Kind of just an overall attitude problem. But it sounded like they wanted to get rid of him regardless. So.
All right. So NFC odds: Niners +350, Seahawks +500. Wow. Why would you? Never mind. Packers +700. Saints +1,000. Falcons +1,000. Oh, my God. This is where just Redskins, Cowboys, and Giants all +1,500. Really?
Wow.
The Cowboys? Like, what is? Can we talk about this for a second?
How do the Cowboys have the same odds as the Redskins and the Giants?
I don't know. Other than that, it's Bears at 20-1. I mean, I know they kind of fell apart, but
yeah, no, there
still
was definitely
a good team.
There was definitely a period there where they were looking really sharp. What are
Eagles,
the Eagles
20-1?
Oh, okay.
Panthers, Bears, and Eagles are all 20-1.
The same as the Panthers, the Eagles. I don't know. I don't think the Eagles are going to have a great season, but it does seem like they have a lot more tools than the Panthers.
Oh, I thought you were shocked because you thought the Panthers should be much higher.
Oh, I guess they have Cam Newton, but.
Sean, I'll keep repeating this. Chip Kelly is not, he doesn't know what he's in for. In fact, I almost want to go on record. I think we could have a Bobby Petrino issue in Philadelphia.
Where he leaves.
Bobby Petrino couldn't handle it in Atlanta. Do you know what the Philadelphia fans are like? I mean.
What? We're very accommodating.
Yeah. Anyway, and then it trickles on down. Vikings 25-1. Lions 30-1, Rams and Bucks 40-1. I don't know why the Bucks are given no love, and the Cardinals at 60-1.
The poor Cardinals. Once again, they were 4-0 last year.
Yeah. How the mighty have fallen.
How'd that happen?
They got Bruce Arians or whatever his name is.
Yeah, they also got Kevin Cobb, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like the NFC, it's been those two big moves and, you know, the Niners.
Eagles released Namdi, but that was not a shock. It doesn't seem like there is a big free agent this year besides, I mean, I guess Mike Wallace, that was the big one. He signed with the Dolphins.
Victor Cruz, like I said last week, could, you know, it sounds like the.
What did they, I saw the Giants tendered him or whatever.
Yeah, they tendered him, which was expected, and apparently the Patriots were poised to make a run, but he switched agents to Tan Condom or whatever his name is. He's the Manning's agent, amongst other people, and apparently they just don't deal with him. The Patriots just don't deal with this agent, which I thought
a
pretty funny story.
That's pretty hilarious. Like, how do you do that as an NFL organization where someone you really want that could help your team and you just say no?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of a weird sort of arrogance, isn't it? I mean, yeah. I guess that's a Patriots MO. And yeah, they did win some Super Bowls. But if you see a guy out there who can help you for the right price, don't you owe it to your fan base? And isn't it just common sense to deal with the agent?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, don't sign a guy for a bad price, but...
Still talk to the guy, you know?
Yeah. How petty is
that? There must be
some
bad blood between Robert Kraft and this guy.
Yeah. Well, he probably fucked Robert Kraft's wife before she passed away.
Yeah.
You never know. Or one of Robert Kraft's new
hotties. Maybe he was the guy that leaked the photos of Robert Kraft down in the Bahamas.
Exactly. He threw Robert Kraft under the bus.
But yeah, it seems like the balance of power is continuing to shift. Well, I guess the AFC won the Super Bowl this year, but... I mean, the Ravens lost Bolden, Ellerby. It sounds like they could even, Ed Reed could end up signing with the 49ers.
Oh, wow.
See,
now, if you're the 49ers, here's I guess Revis is considered one of the bigger names left on the board. If you're the 49ers, do you go after a guy like Revis?
Well, do you read the news about this? That no team, there's not really anything going on because the Jets are not letting Revis's agent talk to any other teams and work out a deal so that the trade can then be worked out. It sounds like the Jets' new GM doesn't really know what he's doing. But it sounds like there's a deal on the table for him from someone.
It sounds like
the Niners aren't going after him, though.
Yeah, if I was the Niners, I wouldn't get a guy like Revis. I mean, their defense was really good without a guy like Revis. Now, well,
that's the argument. If you get him, who knows? But I mean, how can you trade? How can you give up a lot of stuff and then pay him a lot of money when he's coming off an ACL surgery?
Yeah, ACL surgery, you're going to pay him big money, and I feel like that handicaps your team. You have a young kind of like team on the rise. Why do you want to lock up a older guy who's been injured? I could see him having like a Namdi like next couple seasons. I mean, maybe he'll have a productive year, but for $15 million, that's not – I don't know. I don't think that's worth it.
I guess the difference is that he's been playing in a – he's been – Namdi was kind of protected with the Oakland defense all those years. I mean, they've talked about it with the zone, but Revis has really just played man up his whole career, and he's good. I don't think it's fair to compare, but yeah, I don't see why you'd want to.
No, but I mean, compare him in the sense that he's a corner that you pay a lot of money that it might not work out.
Yeah, it seems like it's not worth the risk because he's. Although who knows, he is
now.
Really
if
good.
If I was a younger or if I was a team that was I don't know. I guess if I was a team in a different situation that had a lot of cap space that desperately needed a big player on defense, I would think about it more. But San Francisco, I think, has a really good thing going.
So here, the AFC is pretty interesting with the odds to win. Odds on favorite, not surprising, the Patriots, plus 250, Broncos plus 350. Neither one of those teams have done much, although the word is that the Patriots and Welker are done negotiating.
Wow.
Like,
so we were thinking
he might not get it. Yeah, it sounds like they're going to end up signing Amendola. Welker's going to go. And Welker, apparently, someone close to the situation said that Welker would love to stick it to the Patriots by signing with the Dolphins.
Oh, that would be... Imagine imagine old...
Mike Wallace and Wes Welker. That team becomes instantly good.
Yeah, that's nice. That'd be great if he went to Miami with a pay cut.
Oh, my goodness.
Pulled a Tom Brady move for the Dolphins.
And then you got the Broncos, who apparently they're looking to sign Mendenhall, I read. Bolster that running game a little bit. Plus 350. And then it drops off. Texans plus 800.
No, this is the win in the AFC.
Just the win in the AFC. Ravens and Steelers, 10-1.
Yeah.
Cincinnati Bengals, 18-1. And then we got a whole bunch of teams at 25-1. We got the Colts, Chiefs, Dolphins, Jets, Chargers. And then you got the Browns at 30. Here's where it gets weird. Browns at 30-1. Bills and Titans at 50-1. Jags, Raiders. Jags and Raiders at 75-1.
Did you see Bills released Fitzpatrick?
He just signed that big. Didn't he just sign a big contract?
Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago. He basically wouldn't restructure his deal. So
it's no shit. He went to Harvard, man. He's a smart man.
Yeah, he got paid.
He can't give it back to the team.
No, exactly.
He'll be a backup somewhere.
Yeah, he's serviceable, I guess. Yeah, out of those teams, I think it's crazy to bet on the Chiefs to win the conference, but I do like maybe taking the Chiefs over a win total, especially if it comes in at like 7.
You know what's not a crazy bet? If you're looking for a long shot, I guess it's not really a long shot, but I guess I'd have to look at it more closely, but the Steelers at 10-1 seems like that could be decent value there.
I feel like the Steelers, their window's closed. I feel like they're not gonna have another Super Bowl run.
It's weird because that division got much weaker.
Yeah, but the Ravens won the Super Bowl, so I don't know. It'll be.
Oh, but they've already lost like some key players.
Yeah, that did feel like. I mean, their whole defense looks like they're gonna be gone.
And speaking of the balance of power for Super Bowl odds, Patriots are the favorites, obviously, at 6-1. Although I'm not sure why they're such heavy favorites. 49ers, 650. Seahawks, 9-1. And then you got Broncos at 10-1, and then it's a bunch of NFC teams. So
I think the Seahawks are going to be good, but I bet you there's going to be some value going against them, against the spread.
Yeah, I'm glad I bet it when I did. I think we talked about this after the Super Bowl. I grabbed them to win the Super Bowl at, was it 12 or 14-1?
Oh, wow.
Well, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking Seattle just seems to be that team that everyone's sucking their dick so
hard.
Yeah,
they really
are. There's got to be some value against
them.
Yeah,
but man, that option with Percy Harvin and Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not saying they're not going to be good, but doesn't this just seem like the typical team where you see inflated value? Like,
oh, where, I mean, I think them and the 49ers.
Where it'll be 7 points instead of 4.
Well, and, I think the thing that's scary is they play such good defense.
And at home, they're really good.
But, I mean, they're probably – I don't think the win totals have been released yet, but I would have to imagine the win total for both the 49ers and the Seahawks is going to have to be 10.5 at least.
Well, that's crazy, too, because they play each other. So
it's going to be like a Steelers-Ravens situation where the other two teams in the division are so bad.
Yeah.
Although the Rams, who knows, you know?
Yeah, the Rams are feisty. I mean, they beat the 49ers. Didn't they beat the 49ers and then tied them once,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they did.
So they didn't lose to the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, there's not – your Eagles, 50-1. That's worth putting $100 on, Sean.
Oh, I'll throw 20 on it.
Giants are 25-1. So I got to be honest, that's a little long for a team, you know – coming off their Super Bowl hangover, whatever they call it. They're going to be right back. Cardinals, 125-1. I mean.
No. All right, Ryan. let's move over to the conference championship games.
Yeah, but football's so much cooler.
I know, but it's just getting my brain thinking football.
Yeah.
We got March Madness. We got the March Madness trip coming up. We're going to be in Vegas. Oh. Beautiful Las Vegas in a couple weeks here.
Oh. All right, so we want to start with the teams that already punched their ticket.
Yeah.
So, of course, we are recording this on, should we declare when we're...
Sure.
Should we pull back the curtain?
Yes.
All right, we're recording this Tuesday, March 12th, 7:30 Pacific time. And there have already been 11 or 12 tickets punched. Florida Gulf Coast won the Atlantic Sun. Liberty won the Big South and has set a record for most losses.
They had 20 losses.
For a tournament team. Is Liberty that school run by that crazy religious guy?
I don't know.
I believe he is. It's in, like, Virginia. JMU, James Madison, won the Colonial. Harvard won the Ivy League. They seem to be a juggernaut in the Ivy League. It seems like every year Harvard's making a run. The MAC, Iona won the MAC. Creighton, who's one of probably the first legitimate team we've mentioned here, won the Mountain or the Missouri Valley. LIU Brooklyn, who I believe was in there last year, won the Northeast.
Yeah, they're feisty.
Belmont, who was it last year or 2 years ago? They almost won as a 16 seed, I believe. Ohio Valley, they won that. Davidson, Stephen Curry's alma mater, won the Southern Conference. Western Kentucky, who seems to be in it almost every year too,
yeah,
won the Sun Belt. And Gonzaga basically put a stamp on their number one seed, probably the number one overall seed, going 31-2 and winning the West Coast Conference. Pretty crazy to think Gonzaga, what, 12 years ago made that crazy run and kind of made like the Cinderella story, like,
Now they're going to be the overall number one seed
in the tournament, most likely.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. You just get that TV exposure. You get a couple big guys, and especially now in these where it's one and done, I feel like it kind of...
I think it helps the teams that have guys who aren't going to leave early. You get, you know, you build chemistry. That's why you see some of these small teams make runs, because they just, they have good guards. They shoot
their free throws, a good coach.
They play
great. They build some
chemistry. VCU is a great example.
Yeah, no, that's what I was just thinking of, where... Yeah, the one and done's almost kind of help these other guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So let's not get crazy. Let's just preview the big six. All right. Let's not promo every conference, Sean.
All right. Let's just touch on the interesting ones. Who ended up winning the Patriot League, or is it not a? I don't think it's over, but I saw Lehigh loss. I was kind of bummed out, Ryan.
Oh.
There's no chance for Lehigh to upset Duke again.
Wow. Let's see. The championship game is tomorrow, and it's between Bucknell and Lafayette.
Yeah, fuck Lafayette. Lafayette's their crosstown rival.
Those bitches. All right, let's just do the big. We'll go big seven, because I like to include the Atlantic 10.
All right.
Because they seem to always produce a handful of teams. All right, so ACC. Tournament starts on the 14th. The notable teams getting the byes: Miami, Virginia, Duke, North Carolina.
This is probably one of the more exciting tournaments, if you think of it. I mean,
I don't know. Florida State, North Carolina could be a potential good matchup in the second round. Maryland, Duke, I'm not buying that. I mean, if Virginia Tech wins and gets to play Virginia, that's great because it's a rivalry, but no one gives a shit. And Boston College, Georgia Tech, no one's beating Miami. I mean, this tournament's going to come to, I can tell you right now, the championship game is going to be down to Duke-Miami. And, I mean, looking at the odds, you basically have Duke even money, Miami 3-1, UNC 5-1, NC State. Sorry, I didn't mention them. They have a...
NC State's always
watch out for NC State. They have some NBA players, and they're going to destroy Virginia Tech, beat Virginia. So they'll probably be playing Miami in the semifinals. Watch out for – I don't know if you remember last year. NC State was one of the play-in teams. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they weren't, but they won a couple games. They got to the Sweet 16, and they're a feisty team. But, you know, look, Virginia's 10-1. The field's 10-1. I don't think there's any value betting anything than Duke and Miami here.
So, but what about Miami? I feel like that's probably a solid bet. And then you either get Miami going up against one of those other teams, or you got them going up against Duke, and you can probably, I don't know, you can probably counteract it with a Duke money line.
So Miami's path will be the winner of Boston College and Georgia Tech. I'm not worried about it. I mean, that Miami's going to be 8-point favorite there at least. Then they would play UVA. UVA is nothing special. I wouldn't be too concerned about UVA. So maybe you're right. Maybe you grab that 3-1.
I like Miami.
And then look to hedge in the championship or let it ride. I mean, I don't know. It seems like, I don't know.
Miami seems to be the hot team.
I think the key is that Duke and Miami can basically, I think maybe not Miami, but Duke can definitely, can lock up a one seed if they win.
And Duke seems to play.
I think if Miami gets to the finals, they're probably a top three seed. And I think NC State and North Carolina are probably in. Virginia probably needs to make a run to get in. So, I don't know. It's actually the ACC, this is the last year they'll be down, though, because the next year they pick up Louisville, Syracuse, Notre Dame, and I think there's one more team I'm missing.
It's going to be a crazy tournament.
Yeah, it's basically they're taking most of the strength from the Big East. So I don't know. You want to roll with a Miami at 3-1?
Yeah, let's go Miami 3-1. I like that.
All right. I do too. I feel like they can play with. I mean, they beat the crap out of Duke in Duke. They have a chance, I'd say. All right, what's next? Maybe the Big 12. This is another conference that's slightly down from where they typically are, unfortunately. So you got the top seeds, Kansas State. They get byes. Then you got the other top seeds are Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. Basically, what's going on? Here's what they're playing. It starts tomorrow. Kansas State, Kansas. I think Kansas can get a one seed if they win out. Kansas State's in.
Kansas was in trouble early. Do you think this is where they?
Kansas is good. And the Bill Self's. They will be. So basically, you got.
But do you think he's got the? Do you think he's got the foot on the accelerator? And is trying to make a statement here in the tournament to get his guys ready.
They would like the one seed. I definitely think they would like the one seed. My only concern would be, and I think they're probably going to win it. My concern would be Iowa State. If Iowa State beats Oklahoma, Iowa State is one of those teams that if they can win two games, they might get in. And at the five seed, they would be who. So Kansas is going to play West Virginia or Texas Tech in the first after the first round. Not worried there. Kansas State. TCU or Texas. I see the favorites advancing. I think Oklahoma State beats Baylor. I think Kansas and Kansas State advance. And I think Iowa State upsets Oklahoma. I like this Iowa. I don't know if you've watched them play. I've probably watched Iowa State play two or three times this year just by dumb luck. And I like what they got. So I just think you can't take anyone but Kansas in this game.
Now what are you getting? Even money?
Kansas is -120. So probably no value. Or barely. Probably better off just with the bye. Who knows? But they're probably going to be minimum eight point favorites. If you're looking for value, I don't know.
Why not just take Kansas in the -120?
Kansas State's 450. I think you take Kansas here. I think they have enough to play for in that one seed that you just take them.
Yeah, I think they had a little disappointing chunk in the regular season. That'll get them fired up enough to make a run here.
All right.
Or to really kind of make a statement in the tournament.
Yeah, I just think it's a big deal for them to get that one seed and like prove to the country that they're back. All right, next up. It's pretty sad. This will be the last 3 year of the Big East tournament, or as it stood previously. I used to go there as a kid, Sean. Get that ticket to the first day of games. You go to Madison Square Garden, one ticket. You're there all day, four games. It was pretty awesome. That was back when like Allen Iverson, Patrick Ewing,
yeah, the heyday,
Alonzo Mourning, Ray Allen. You know, got Rip Hamill. It's a good time to be a kid in Madison Square Gardens. The tournament actually started tonight. Seton Hall and Rutgers advanced out of the first round. Of course, the Big East does the double bye system. So the top four seeds, Georgetown, Pittsburgh, Louisville, and Marquette, get two byes. actually, Rutgers did not win that game at halftime. But, yeah, so the Big East, I don't know. It's deep, right? Louisville and Georgetown, I think, can lock up. Either one of them can lock up a one seed with a win. Villanova, Cincinnati, Villanova is the 7 seed and Cincinnati is the 9 seed. They can win with tournament runs. Of course, Cincinnati would have to go through Georgetown and Villanova would have
Pittsburgh?
To go to Louisville. Pittsburgh's the 4 seed. They'll be playing Georgetown if they beat the winner of Syracuse, Seton Hall. Now, Syracuse has been playing like crap lately. But I look for them to get crap together, and I think you're going to end up seeing a Final Four of Georgetown, Syracuse, Louisville, Marquette. I don't think Notre Dame can overcome Marquette. And this is another one.
They are pretty deep.
Here's the thing. Georgetown, Syracuse.
What's Pittsburgh to win the tourney?
Georgetown just beat the crap out of Syracuse. So if that's how.
So you're thinking revenge?
I would love to see them play again in MSG. And I'm not a huge believer in Georgetown. So here are the odds. Louisville plus 140. I was just about to say, I think Louisville's probably the class of the conference. Georgetown plus 450. Pittsburgh 550. Syracuse 550. Mm. Now, what I might do here, now, like I said, I think Louisville's the pick. Plus 140, I'm not sure there's a ton of value taking them as the pick, right?
So maybe go Georgetown, Louisville, Pittsburgh.
Sprinkle a little on each and just...
Yeah. Play for the upset. Or a slight upset.
If I was going to do that, I would just take... I would take... I would almost take Georgetown and then hedge a little if they played... I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm not looking at the bracket, so I don't know if that's...
Yeah, it's just... It's another one, like kind of like Kansas, where I just think Louisville is the best team. And I think Louisville's playing... I mean, Georgetown's playing well. Don't get me wrong. So maybe that's the pick. Maybe you grab them plus 450. That's awfully steep odds for a team that if they win their tournament, they're a one seed.
Yeah.
So maybe you do that. Maybe I'll do that. That sounds actually like it might be fun. All right. Big Ten. I don't know if you've watched any Big Ten basketball this year, but that conference is deep this year.
With the exception of Penn State. It's pretty horrible. Although it had some miraculous comeback for their one Big Ten
win. They beat someone good, right? They beat...
It might have been like Notre Dame.
I think it was even bigger. All right. Big Ten. Not
Gophers.
Much... What's that?
Gophers.
Yeah, the Golden Gophers, although they're gonna fizzle out. All right, let's see here. Indiana. I mean, it's crazy. Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Michigan State, I feel like, all have a legitimate shot to win this tournament.
But Michigan State isn't afraid to play for the NCAA tournament.
That's here's the crazy thing, is that... This. But the crazy thing is that I feel like whoever wins the Big Ten tournament... could end up with a one seed. Any five of those teams. They're just so close. I mean, anyway, so the tournament, the breakdown looks like this.
They do like to, NCAA does like to reward big, you know, these bigger
I just think it's a deep conference. Because you got, all right, Illinois, Minnesota, 8-9. 5-12, Michigan, Penn State. Purdue, Nebraska is the 7-10. Iowa, Northwestern. I mean, even Northwestern had some good games. Look, Iowa's garbage. Purdue's no good this year. Nebraska's no good. Penn State stinks. Illinois, Minnesota will be the best first-round matchup. But I got Indiana facing Minnesota in the second round. I got Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio State, Purdue, Michigan State, Northwestern. I think the chalk advances with the exception of Michigan upstates Wisconsin. We get a rematch of the Indiana-Michigan game. Did you watch that the other day? Really good game. Indiana stormed back.
Oh, yeah. They beat Michigan towards the end,
right? So I think your Final Four in the Big Ten tournament will be Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State. But
do you think Michigan – I don't know. I was listening to one of the guys at pregame, and they were saying their take is that
– Michigan's a bet-against team in the tournament.
Michigan State.
Michigan.
Oh, okay. Well,
Are you talking about Michigan State?
He was saying Michigan State because he's, I think it was Fezzik, two-time winner of the Hilton
Football. Let's point that out. He often says that he doesn't know crap about other sports. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but he was saying, I mean, I'm sure he talks to a lot of sharp guys in the business, but his take was that Izzo isn't afraid to rest or not, or I guess maybe that's more for covering the spread.
I still think they want to win the games. I see your point, but they still want to win the games.
I didn't realize Michigan. So you think if Michigan State wins the Big Ten Conference, they have a chance for a number one seed?
I think so.
Oh, okay. I thought it was kind of Indiana's to lose, assuming they didn't get...
Well, that's the thing is, if they're going to... Here's my thing.
I guess it would imply that they would probably beat an Indiana, or Indiana would falter, obviously, if they're winning the tournament.
I have a feeling... So Indiana's plus 140. I'm not going to touch that. I think in this tournament, more than any other tournament, no value there. I would take Michigan, Michigan State, or Ohio State. Michigan State's 5-1. Ohio State's 4-1. Michigan's plus 450. That's actually bad value for Michigan. They have to play an extra game. You're probably better off parlaying them through, if you know what I mean. They don't get that first round bye. And I kind of like the way Ohio State's been playing.
I'm always a Michigan State guy. A conference tournament, I don't know.
So you want to grab Michigan State?
I'm going to go Michigan State. I just like...
I'll go Ohio State.
I like Michigan State.
But I do think that this
Izzo's been good to me over the years.
One thing that I from watching Michigan is I really think Trey Burke or whatever his name is, their point guard, he takes too many shots. I really think that in the tournament they're much like they did last year when they lost to who was it, Ohio? It was a high. They were like 10-point favorites. They lost outright. I think something similar could happen this year. I really do.
Calling them out.
All right, what do we got left? We got a couple conferences left. Let's see here. We got the SEC, maybe. Let's do the Pac-12. Even though I don't even know why we're talking. Pac-12 has really been down lately. I remember the good old years when they were dominant. They
UCLA seemed like they got Shabazz Muhammad. They were supposed to be good this year.
UCLA is in. Arizona's most likely in. And
USC, no chance, right?
No. They're
what if they don't have an automatic bid, Pac-12, do they?
Every conference has an automatic bid. So, yeah, they could – if they win, they're in. But I think UCLA and Arizona in. I think California, Oregon, and Colorado are the teams that need to win a couple games. And this –
Buffaloes, I feel like they've had a couple crazy wins this year.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is one UCLA – wow, so Arizona's the favorite, plus 180. UCLA plus 350, and then Stanford, Oregon, California, 7-1, Colorado, 8-1. I got to be honest, I would grab UCLA here.
Really? Because I feel like, from what I've watched and listened on the radio, they just seem – they don't show up in big situations at all.
Maybe you're right, but I just
well, whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to obviously it's a plus 350 for a reason, but this team doesn't strike me as a team that has a lot of character. I want to support the Bruins. I like rooting for out of the West Coast college teams. They're one of the teams I would prefer to root for. Obviously, much more over a USC, but I don't. From what I've seen this year, I mean, Shabazz Muhammad's a great athlete, but he doesn't seem to have the game figured out at all.
But considering that I believe all four teams, the top four spots were separated by one game, everyone's equal. Why not take the team plus 350 and has talent? I mean, I believe they had the number one recruiting class. They're playing with the number one recruiting class. I just think
I'm going to go Colorado plus 800.
All right. I'll take the hometown team here in UCLA. 350, that seems like some good value. They only got to play three games, and they're probably going to be favored in two of them.
And it's true. Break it down like that, that's a little more appetizing. Real quick, Ryan, can you give me a score on the Bobcats-Celtics game?
Well, are you doing some gambling?
I was thinking of betting everything, maxing out on because I have this idea of
bet against the Bobcats every game?
Yeah, and just do it.
You remember last week when we said that you wanted to take the Bobcats plus 14, or you wanted to take – anyone against the Bobcats, and I said, oh, the spread's 14. You're like, I'll take the Bobcats. They lost by like 30 that game.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I was thinking about going all in against the Bobcats on the money line, and then I guess it came out late that Paul Pierce was going to be arrested. Last I checked, they were
down.
Wow,
he got arrested for what?
No, sorry. They were going to arrest him.
Oh, they're going to arrest him. Oh, my
goodness. That's not out of the question with Paul Pierce.
All right, so what was the spread?
I think even at tip-off, once they announced it, Bobcats are getting 10.5 at home. But I was thinking of going big Celtics money line.
Oh, you're going to go big Celtics money line.
Well, just the idea is that I think someone pointed out on – might have been Fezzik again – or just the idea that the Bobcats probably aren't going to win another game if you just kept taking the money line against them and parlaying that.
Okay. So what was the money line, like minus 500?
It was minus 660.
So what were you getting coming back? Plus 400 on the Bobcats?
Yeah.
Okay. So you did a lot of thinking about this, obviously. You put those thoughts in the universe, and you effectively mushed it. Bobcats won 100-74.
Wow, they won by 26.
They won by 26.
Well, that the guy, Jason Pardes on Twitter, he hit us up. I missed it before tip-off, but he was the one who gave me that tip on Paul Pierce being rested.
Other strange outcome for tonight? Minnesota spanked San Antonio 107-83.
See, that's why you can't bet basketball regular season.
Wait for the playoffs.
Now, Ryan, is it now the time to strike against the Bobcats? Like, now I feel like they're never going to
win. You think they're going to be a little overvalued? Oh, my goodness. All right.
How do you lose?
That's really funny. I mean, It would have been funny either way for me, but if you had made that bet.
No,
oh,
like, boy. I was really just thinking, like, this is good value. Like, hey, if I bet $600,
oh,
I can win. It's a free $100.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I definitely would have hedged at halftime, though.
All right. SEC, not really much to talk about here. This conference is down mainly because Kentucky is – right now, Kentucky's on the bubble. They might not make the tournament, which seems
crazy.
So
what was it? Just basically injuries, right?
The number one guy they got, who's going to be the number one, would have been the number one pick in the draft, or be a very high pick in the draft, got injured, tore his ACL or something. I mean, Florida and Missouri are in, but Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Ole Miss, all looking to play into the tournament.
Do you think Calipari has one last run here?
I have to imagine right now they're being projected as one of the play-in teams. They're the 12 seed play-in game. I have to imagine. So here's the first round, which starts tomorrow.
So isn't that stupid that the play-in isn't 16? Shouldn't it be for the 16 spot?
I get it because there's two play-ins for the 16, but they do two play-ins for the 12, so you get a little more, it allows you to expand the big, like, middle tier teams in bigger conference. You know, that's like the 12 is like the cutoff for a big conference school.
Yeah.
So you got South Carolina, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Auburn. No one cares about that. Well, you got this another tournament with double buys. So you got your top four seeds, Florida, like we said, Florida. Kentucky's the two seed somehow. Florida, Kentucky, Alabama, Ole Miss. Missouri's in. They're the six seed. So this, I don't know, just looking at this, Georgia, no one's beating Florida. Florida's making it to the semifinals. Tennessee, Alabama could be a good game. And Kentucky's going to have to play the winner of Vanderbilt, Arkansas. Now, don't sleep on Vanderbilt. I believe they beat Kentucky not too long ago, and they beat. They're a scrappy team if they're making their threes. Missouri, Ole Miss, I watched them play. They're not very good. Florida's the favorite here, -160. They're clearly the best team in this conference. Missouri 6-1, Kentucky 7-1. Wow, and that's it. Everyone else is over 10-1.
Yeah, I like going chalk here. I'll take Florida.
Take Florida, but don't be surprised if Kentucky... I think Kentucky does just enough to get into the tournament.
So you think they win two games?
I don't... I just can't see the tournament without Kentucky. It would be odd. Well, Kentucky... I mean, two games would get them in the championship.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they only... Yeah, three would win it all. But they probably need one or two wins to make it in officially.
So
the
can they
right?
beat Vanderbilt or Arkansas? In fact, if you look at it that way, Kentucky would only have to win three games. And they're going to be favored probably in two of them.
All right, Ryan. I'll take Kentucky. What's
so there's at? Value at 7-1.
All right.
Well, think about it. They got the double bye.
Oh,
so they're going to play Arkansas-Vanderbilt, the winner of that. They'll be favored. And then they would play the winner of Missouri-Ole Miss. If Missouri wins, they might not be the favorite. So maybe there's not value there. But I say go chalk here. And honestly, there's not much to watch for here. Watch Florida, though. If you haven't seen them play, they're very fun to watch. They can shoot the lights out. And I think they're poised to make a little run in the tournament. All right, last one. Not a major conference, but I like talking about them every year because the Atlantic 10 always puts teams out. And now they've added Butler. So you got St. Louis, Temple, VCU, Butler, and LaSalle, the two favorites. St. Louis, coached by Towelbiter, whatever his name is. Or no, it's not Towel. It's that other guy that looks like Towelbiter. And VCU.
But it does sound like something you would call a gay guy, right? Towelbiter?
Yeah, but remember he was the coach of UNLV all those years? I can't think of his name right now. He, bald guy, used to chew on a towel.
Yeah.
That may be a slur for gay.
I think pillow biter is the official slur.
Oh, that's what it is. But
towel biter sounds pretty similar.
But I mean, so what is the genesis of that term? Like you're biting the pillow because it hurts to get a penis in your butt?
I would have to guess that. Or your
so
face
you could replace
face
it with that. You could be a sheet biter or a towel biter or
stick biter.
Yeah. Rod. Anyway. So Richmond. Richmond is usually a team that you know, sometimes gets in, Dayton, Xavier. I mean, there's a lot of teams in this tournament. This is basically a major tournament. So here's what's at stake. So first of all, it's being played in Brooklyn, the new Barclays Center. Should have good energy. And let's see, St. Louis, VCU, Temple, Butler, And LaSalle seems to be the wild card. Not really a favorite out of the bunch. I say you roll. Let's roll the dice here, Sean.
Okay, what are you feeling?
I say we take LaSalle 7-1.
All right. I'm always down for a long shot.
But I like a lot. These are the teams that I will happily back VCU in the tournament. Same with Butler. They're well-coached teams. Like, their coaches
VCU
understand.
Does seem to have a...
It's like their coaches are smarter. They're not, like, they've always had to get an edge somewhere else, so they don't just rely on their talent. Same with Butler. I mean, that coach is, like, a super stat nerd, like, genius, right? And was the last 2 years they made the Final Four? Or two of the last 3 years? I don't know. I say we go LaSalle here. Why
I'm
not?
Down. I'm down.
7-1, a little bit of a long shot.
Support Pennsylvania.
So that's pretty much it. I would say, other than that, let's see. Most of the tickets will be punched this week.
What about what's the conference again? I forget. Mountain West that they're playing in Nevada. Just take the under on all those college kids in the.
The tournament's being played in Las Vegas.
Yeah, at the home of the Running Rebels.
I don't know. Is it the Mountain West?
I always get these. There's like the Big Sky West.
Yeah, that's where UNLV is.
It's Mountain West, right?
It's the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah.
And New Mexico's the one seed. Of course, they were in the tournament last year. Colorado State, another team that was the team we bet on. They had all those white guys. They took that lead over someone good, and then they just blew it.
Yep.
But this is another good conference. New Mexico, San Diego State, Colorado State, Fresno State, UNLV, all teams that have been in the tournament, made runs. Fresno State's down this year. According to the rankings, let's see, New Mexico's the one seed. Oh, man.
I say play the unders here, especially the first half unders.
You think so?
Yeah. Nah, I just like the idea of kids going out.
I mean, it's in Las Vegas.
Yeah, these kids are going to be...
I think you take UNLV.
What's UNLV? Plus what?
I mean, why not take the team that's used to being in Vegas?
They're not going to be distracted, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think they play the tournament down at like the Orleans or some pile of crap. Yeah, UNLV plus 160. Why not?
Sounds like a fun little bet there.
I mean, they are the chalk, but...
Get on the Running Rebels at plus 160, all right?
All right, more importantly, though, since we are in Southern California, Sean...
Yes.
We have to touch on the Big West tournament, right?
Indeed. Northridge.
Where your alma mater.
The Matadors. Cal State Northridge.
Cal State Northridge. What seed are they? They're not even in the tournament. How does that work?
How do you not get in your conference tournament?
I guess not everyone makes it. Is that make you sad? Let's see. Cal State Northridge was 5-13 in conference. Yeah, it looks like the bottom two teams don't make the tournament. UC Northridge and Riverside did not make it. The one seed is Long Beach State, I think they had that run. Was that where Casper was from?
Yeah.
Is he still playing?
I don't know.
Oh, that'd be interesting to know. Pacific, the two seed. Cal Poly, the three seed. UC Irvine. Ugh. Who gives a shit? Anyway, I don't know. So
I like Long Beach State again.
Why not? They're the one seed.
What's their odds?
Let's see here. Let's see, last year, Long Beach State was blown out by Pacific in the season finale. They were kind of letting their guard down. It sounds like it's going to be between Long Beach State, Pacific, and Cal Poly. And the odds are such, Cal Poly 4-1, Pacific plus 275, Long Beach State 3-1.
Number one seed at 3-1?
Let's do it.
That sounds like some value there, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's do it.
All right,
I hate this, though. I want a tournament. I want to fill out my bracket.
You got
I want
to
fill out multiple brackets. Big news this year, Sean.
Yes.
First of all, we will, as soon as Selection Sunday happens, we will be posting the Sports Gambling Podcast, March Madness Bracket League, on Twitter.
Yes.
What are we doing? Top three get t-shirts?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Top three get t-shirts.
All right, let's do top three get t-shirts. Unless we get a crazy amount of people, then we'll readjust.
We'll bring it up.
I just want to fill out a bracket.
I'm itching for a bracket. So, yeah, that'll be our next show, right? Break down the official...
We should... I don't know what your schedule is like, but we should do it during the playing games are Monday or Tuesday and Wednesday. So if we do a are they Monday and Tuesday? We should do it Tuesday night. Get it post it Wednesday morning. What do you think about
that? Sounds good. All right, let's plan on that. Or maybe we'll do it Monday and post it Tuesday.
All right, we'll get it up a couple days before the first game
gets
tipped.
Give you a chance to.
We also should point out standing offer. I will buy anyone who approaches us in Vegas, who finds us and approaches us.
We will be wearing Sports Gambling Podcast t-shirts.
I will buy, Oh, yeah, I'll definitely be wearing a sports. It's either going to be a sports gambling t-shirt, a Virginia Tech jersey, or that's probably it. I'm packing light. What should we, Jaeger bombs?
Jaeger bombs.
Yeah, something Jaeger with Red bombs. Bull, right?
Yeah, no, we got to get pumped up. Jaeger bomb and a shot of whiskey.
Yeah. Oh,
for
yeah.
Anyone. We'll do a Boilermaker and a
Jaeger
bomb.
Ooh, Boilermaker, Sean.
Or no, we'll do Irish car bomb.
Oh yeah, what are
Jaeger
we talking
bomb.
About? In celebration of the great St. Patrick. Unfortunately, St. Patrick's Day, the tournament's late this year, so we will not be in Vegas for St. Patrick's Day. It's this Saturday, right?
It's actually Sunday. But
this
yeah.
Sunday.
No, I know that's unfortunate. Usually, you get that nice combo.
We will be celebrating St. Patrick's Day all week in Vegas while we're out there. And like I said, I will happily buy car bombs for anyone who approaches us.
It's
especially if you're
a
lady.
And of course, the Sports Gambling Podcast t-shirts are almost ready for sale. Sorry, I've been slacking. I got to set the webpage up for that. But we got the shirts. And yeah, I've also been slacking on mailing them out. But we're getting on it. Don't worry. The shirts are here. They're high quality. So stay tuned for that.
Sean, I don't think anyone is mistaking us for full-time radio personality. So clearly we have other jobs to fund
yes.
our gambling habits. So
exactly.
Yeah.
We need to stack up our bankroll. We need you guys to click through the Amazon banner.
Yeah.
And don't worry. The t-shirts are coming. You'll be able to purchase them.
Now, who do we actually have anyone's information from the NFL Pick'em?
Yeah, we have one lucky winner.
Oh, wow.
We'll be
all
receiving
right.
some shirts in the mail. So
nice.
That's the first guy who's going to be getting them.
Yeah. Can't believe we didn't hear back from anyone else.
And the guy who won did not ever
claim
his prize. So,
I'll just keep putting up the, I'm backing my opinion with cash, Sean.
Ryan, it's like the Powerball. Someone didn't get this time. It's just going to roll over to the pot
yeah.
the next time.
Yeah.
We're trying to give away free money.
Trying to give away money.
On the internet. It's not
t-shirts.
Happening.
Really stylish t-shirts. You could wear it out to a club. It's versatile. You could wear it to watch football, to work out. It's black, so you could rock it in the club.
It's really, you can take it anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Have you put a picture on the website yet?
I put a picture on my Instagram, I tweeted it out. I tweeted out a picture, so.
Okay.
I think the plan is to kind of redo the whole site, so install a different theme and kind of update it.
Nice.
So it's going to be a little bit of an undertaking.
Well, this
so.
Might be a good time to promo what I might be doing.
Yeah, what do you got going on?
I'm in the process of building up a little statistical database as it relates to gambling. So what we might start offering is little tidbits into that data, neato stat of the day applying to a game that day. So we'll see. See, it all depends on how much free time I have outside of work, but I don't know. I'm pretty interested. My goal is to have something up and running by football season so we can promo it during or
that would
kind
be
of
great.
Premiere during football season.
Ideally have an app that you can just download the podcast episodes.
Oh.
We'll send in some free, give our free pick of the day. And like you said, throw in some statistical tidbits. So.
Yeah, I think we start with a mobile website and then maybe an app grows from there. Apps don't grow on trees, Sean.
No, they don't. You got to
pay someone in India $200 to develop one for you.
Good times. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Sports Gambling Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Gambling Podcast. Of course, check us out online, Stitcher, iTunes. Rate, review, share. Appreciate that. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
What movie do you think Doug Glanville was referring to when he said the Yankees were all Brokeback Mountain over there because they had injuries?
That was I played that clip for Ryan off air. Just YouTube Yankees Brokeback Mountain and you guys will get a good laugh. Yeah, he goes, the Yankees are great when they're healthy, but now they're all Brokeback Mountain over there. I think he's referring to A-Rod's AIDS. I
mean, gay cowboys, right? A lot of gay cowboys on the Yankees.
Hey, A-Rod definitely has a gay cowboy vibe.
Mm, ESPN is so homophobic.
Let it ride.